So I just launch into it? Is that what we're doing?
We should just You're the one in charge, Mark.
I'm dying over here.
All right, here we go. Fine. No, no, nobody's in charge. That's part of the problem with this whole thing.
And the solution.
We've decided to do a podcast where nobody is in charge. I'm so excited for this podcast today. All right, this is the TWP podcast. We're helping you survive the mundane. Brett, who are our listeners?
Our listeners currently are our spouses.
Our spouses, that's correct. And they're going to find just a few moments of pleasure in the midst of this pandemic, comedy in the time of corona.
Ooh, I like
all
that.
All the alliteration. With me.
Well said.
You like
well
that. You like that. That's right. So with me is Kyle Cousins.
Yo.
And Brett just got it. And Brett Wiersma, three best friends. I think we absolutely crushed first episode. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I was actually, I was at the drive-thru at Wendy's the other night, and the girl taking my order literally said something about it. I think she recognized my voice and said, "You're the TWP guy."
Was her name Wendy?
I said, wow.
Totally.
So
unbelievable.
It's reaching far and wide.
Yeah, at least to the fast food world.
All right, should we play the intro music now?
Let's do it.
Obviously.
All right, let's kill it.
Dwight Schrute.
Yes. I just watched that episode last night.
Little drummer boy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. All right. So we want to talk about a couple things we learned from the first podcast, fellas. What do you think?
I think it's a good place to start. Brett, what thoughts did you have after listening back to episode one of the TWP podcast?
So yeah. I listened to the raw audio, to use our producer's terminology, to our raw audio podcast, and I enjoyed it. I remember, what's funny is I laughed at the parts at the same, like I laughed while listening to it at the same time as I laughed while we were recording the podcast. If I don't know if that makes sense. So like I pre-laughed when I was supposed to laugh. Like it was like I laughed at the same spots because the same things were funny to me. And yeah, I at first I was like, is this gonna you know have wide appeal? It does. 10 out of 10.
And you know that as a listener who also did the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, also does the podcast.
As one of six listeners, I give it a 10 out of 10.
There's no holes in that theory.
Hi, longtime listener, first time caller. I just wanted to say that this was a great podcast.
Second time listener, first time producer.
Yeah, long time, first time.
See, the sad thing is our younger listeners won't get that joke because they didn't, I don't feel like post 2000 kids grew up in an era of listening. I mean, do kids even listen to the radio anymore or in the car?
I think if you have a car that doesn't have like a USB plug-in, you're kind of forced to listen to the radio still.
Well, they invented Bluetooth as well.
That's fair. But like we grew up listening to sports talk radio.
Oh, totally.
And Jim Rome. And even back in the old days when those guys, like Dan Patrick and those guys were just starting, that was such a part of the car. I remember like driving in the car with my dad on the way home from school, and that's what we were listening to, ESPN Radio 1000 in Chicago.
Chicago.
First-time listener, or long-time listener, first-time caller.
Such a weird line that they have to qualify themselves. All right. Did we learn that our microphones matter or settings matter?
Mark, that felt like a personal jab.
It really was. It was a veiled
insult. I hadn't shared yet. I'm over here preparing to be vulnerable, and
yeah,
and you just had to go.
We
take
just
a
went
jab
for the jugular.
Yeah,
he stuck the knife in and then he turned it a little.
Yeah, I have to apologize.
Well, it wasn't spiteful
to my family and friends. I'm apologizing over here. Do you mind?
I need complete silence while I apologize.
I need. Excuse me. I'm speaking.
No, I think if our audience listened to the first episode, if they stayed with us through the first episode, they know how bad the sound quality was on my mic, and that was a Kyle problem. It was a settings issue, and I was too close to the mic. Just a lot of lessons learned on my end. So I do apologize, and with a humble heart and a contrite spirit, just hope our audience can forgive me and that the quality of the sound today makes up for that.
Yeah, onward and upward. Kyle, I think that was an integrity move to take that on and to take that responsibility, but move forward
Thank you.
With hope.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it.
It was an integrity move.
Yeah.
We can only learn and move forward. That is all we can ask for anybody.
Yep.
Indeed.
Mark, what about you? Any takeaways from the first episode?
Our normal conversations are as funny as we think they are real time.
Oh, so you think that this is going to have less appeal than we thought?
No. Listening back to it, I'm with you. Like, I listened back to it and I was like, dude, oh, that's funny.
He was saying we are as funny as we thought we were.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said never mind. Everyone who's listening, the three of you are probably like,
not a native speaker.
Come on, Brett. Yep.
My wife, when we listened to it, she laughed at all the things and she took notes. And I genuinely think people are interested in our ice cream flavors. Genuinely, they're going to be interested in it. So if you haven't listened, sorry, that's a spoiler alert. If you haven't listened to episode one, go back and listen to it, because the entirety is a discourse on how Mark has no ice cream acumen and Brett and Kyle are the official ice cream aficionado, snobs, whatever.
Accurate.
Well said. That's an integrity move, Mark.
Huh?
Yeah.
But nobody could do it. Publix makes great ice cream. Prove me wrong. They haven't yet. Kyle just said he didn't care.
And then you just take it all back. That was weird how you did that.
I
just
did.
Now.
That was a self-integrity move.
Our listeners, go back and listen to the first episode. I guess if you didn't listen to our first episode, you're not a listener. So if you're listening now, go back and listen to our first episode, and you decide.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. And then us know.
I think our social media is going to be blowing up. Everybody wants to know the other six, because you remember we covered our top three and then an honorable mention out of 10.
Sure.
So that's true. A lot of ice cream to talk about. And
listening back, guys, I think there is something. I'm going to get real for a second. I'm going to go deep.
Let's play the music.
I think there's a hunger.
This real
should
moment.
We pause? Okay. You got like the master's music. Should I go Jim Nance here? Hello,
Jimmy
friends.
V. We're going to play. Oh my gosh.
I think I think people are, they hunger for, one, as we've said in our podcast, it's to break up the monotony in the midst of the pandemic. You know, as Mark said, comedy in the corona. I think people hunger for like conversations that are both fun, but still like passionate and meaningful. Like, can you talk about stupid things, but it's not stupid because you care? Like, we can talk about our favorite flavors of ice cream. It's not going to change the world. It's not going to, you're not curing cancer. You're still, it gives permission, I guess is what I'm saying, for people to feel like, hey, I care about that too. Like, I kind of get, you know, riled up about ice cream flavors. And I love that these guys do too, and that we can talk. There's a safe space to have those conversations, and for someone not to look at me weird and be like, why are we talking about this? This is dumb. We are that podcast to let you know that you are safe to have those conversations and be nerdy, be weird, talk about stupid things with your friends and do it with zeal. That's all.
I like it.
And I think you nailed, I think that was very self-aware. I would describe you as someone who can get riled up by topics that you're passionate about. So, and you are riled with zeal.
Mm. I don't know what that means, but sounds good.
Oh my gosh. All right. We're going to want to move into what our episode is about for today. And I think everybody got a chance to, one, obviously they learned about our ice cream flavors, but they also learned kind of how we met. which is kind of, those are fun stories. So we thought maybe we'd talk about our favorite childhood memories to give people a little bit more insight into, you know, our podcast personas. These are not made up memories too, by the way, guys. These are for real. So whatever your favorite childhood memory is.
Okay.
You can't make up something.
I'll
and
have
go,
to change
oh,
mine. I'd come up with quite a story.
But, all right. Well, let's shoot from the hip on this and just go out on a limb.
Great. Wonderful.
All right.
Cool. Well, does somebody have one? Who wants to kick it off?
Not me. I was looking at our ad read coming up here.
All right, Kyle, you sounded like you had something dialed up.
I mean, you said shoot from the hip, so this was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm saying.
I feel like this is also a good, again, fitting with the theme of our podcast. This can launch us into future conversations on things that I am nerdy about, passionate about, maybe others aren't. My favorite childhood memory is from it, the where is the Fort Wilderness Campgrounds in Disney World or Lake Buena Vista, Orlando, Florida. Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Just being with my family growing up, to make a long story short, Disney is very much a part of my family history. Like, my grandparents loved to camp. They shortly before retirement, my grandpa purchased a fifth wheel camper, a hitchhiker, and we would spend a week, usually week and a half around spring break, with my grandpa and grandma. These were my dad's parents, and then my mom and dad and my two siblings. I'm the oldest of three, and the seven of us would pull into our campsite at Fort Wilderness Campgrounds, and spend a week there. And it is, to this day, there was something about just being near Disney where I felt kind of at home. And so when I had an evening off or didn't have plans on a weekend, I would just drive down and I would just walk the trails at Fort Wilderness and just kind of reminisce about childhood. So I love it because of what it meant to my family and just our memories and just great, great memories. So that's a favorite childhood memory of mine.
And can you, I know both of your sets of grandparents, which set was this?
This was my dad, the Don, his parents. So Grandma Jean.
Okay.
The Don.
Yeah.
I had a feeling, especially since the other grandparents live in a place where you'd probably go to them.
They were further away. Yeah, they lived in Okoboji, Iowa, which very few people listening will even know where Okoboji is. It's kind of out. It's a beautiful place, but it's middle of nowhere, Iowa. And so, did not see them as often, but... I was very close to my grandparents. I know you guys can both, I think, resonate with that. But when they retired, they were going to travel the country in the hitchhiker and do Yosemite and Yellowstone and, you know, Carlsbad, all the trips. And so the silver lining that was kind of cool is where that dream maybe kind of faded away because my grandpa was no longer around. Then when I was in grade school, middle school, high school, the trip became the five of my immediate family, and then Grandma Jean came with us. And it became like the trailer was used. We went down to Fort Wilderness every year. Very cool. Very cool kind of story. And another reason why why I was so close with my grandma.
Yeah. That brings me to our first sponsor for the day. If you stop and think about it, our lives are built by moments that can change your life and everyday moments that create your life. In today's world, there's not much time to appreciate what's in front of us. Well, we exist to help you see those moments, to pause them and relive them in something you can hold in your hand and turn to forever. From our refurbished vintage Polaroid cameras to the Polaroid Lab, we create beautiful enriching tools to ground you in the here and now. Polaroid. All right, and all right, Brett, your turn.
I was just going to jump in with my own ad
read. I did not know where he was going with that. Well, now I kind of want to hear yours, Polaroid. Brett.
Mine is Arkansas Airways, the fourth tier Arkansas travel destination champions. They're running a special of $30 round trip anywhere from Little Rock to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and four other locations. $30. Visit ArkansasAirways.com today.
All right.
Wow. What does that?
Thank you to those non-sponsors.
What does that have anything to do with the conversation we were having?
Well, mine, yeah. I think both of ours fit perfectly. You were talking about travel and memories, and we just talked about photos and travel. So we nailed it, I think, Mark.
Two perfectly adequate sponsors. Non-sponsors, yeah. To be more specific. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, next story.
Okay, I'll go next because mine was going to be travel related, so it's similar to yours, Kyle.
It's a great segue.
I want to say 6 or 7 straight spring breaks, our family would drive from Michigan down to Isle of Palms, South Carolina, just outside Charleston, right on the Atlantic Ocean. And we would rent a cottage that was maybe, you know, like you could see the water, but there was a couple, you know, there was maybe a row or two of houses between you and the ocean. There was I think the first cottage we had, my mom made a cake. For one of my, somebody had a birthday. Well, if it was close to, it's probably Mark's birthday because it was close to April. And a salamander had run across the cake and left footprints and his tail thing in the cake. So that's a childhood memory I'll never forget. I mean, just especially growing up on Lake Michigan, which is basically an ocean an ocean experience for a lot of people when it comes to the size and scope of it. Have you not been to the ocean, Brett? Hey, you know what, Mark? I'm speaking. Okay, you'll have your time.
Lake Michigan is like the ocean.
It is.
Oh boy!
In more ways than one, it's better. It's just better in the sense that
it's big.
Okay, I'm speaking. Wow. And, go ahead. Sorry.
Mark, so you're not ready for the deluge that's about to fall on you. If you stay on your present course, tread carefully, my friend.
Oh my gosh!
I want to echo the echo of Kyle's echo.
Tread carefully.
And so. Yeah, I mean, just all the experiences of being in the ocean. And then I would say the other one would be my brother graduated from a small college in Colorado in 1999. And we flew out there and we kind of landed in Denver and then took our time to get to. It was a blast, that whole trip and experiencing Colorado and the out west space because I'm a Midwest kid. So anything that's different than Michigan has always been really special. So.
Now, fun fact, Brett, you were born in Colorado. Is that correct?
I was, and that is why I have a Denver Broncos affinity. Was because I was born in '87 when John Elway and the Broncos were doing very well. Well, not winning Super Bowls, sadly, but doing very well. And so Colorado, raised in Michigan, and now I live in Iowa.
Wait, and which brother was this? Hmm.
That would be Jeff. He is 10 years older than me.
Where did Jeff go to college?
He graduated from Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado.
Wow. What made that trip fun? Like, I know you said being with your family, seeing a new place, but like, were there any other, any unique things
we
you
thought
guys
we
did?
Were going to die flying in a little puddle jumper, like a 7-person airplane from Denver to Durango.
Yep.
And so that was terrifying, but very memorable. And we rented a Jeep, and the three of us went, because it was just me and my parents for most of the vacation, because my brother graduated and then drove home after he graduated from Colorado to Michigan. And, renting a Jeep and going off-roading was an experience.
Wow.
Big time, because... Yeah, again, Midwest. Like, you don't get to... I guess you could go off-roading in Michigan, but not like, you know, I mean, it was like what I pictured the Grand Canyon would look like, obviously less grand.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
Medium canyon. So
that just rolls right off the tongue.
It really does. And then when you get there, everyone's like, where are all the faces of the presidents?
That John Denver.
So full crap.
Wow.
John Denver. Yeah.
Well, Mark, do you want to share, or should we give another break for our another non-sponsor?
Do we have one? I don't know if we have one. Do we?
We can do one. Yep, I can pull one up here really quick. What's here? Can you give me? thank you. Sorry, yeah, my assistant is handing me the next.
Oh, my goodness.
Our next non-sponsor is Jeep. Now get zero APR financing plus no monthly payments for 90 days on select 2020 and 2021 Jeep models when financed through Chrysler Capital. That's all I got.
Are they a member FDIC?
Long live. I told you that was my favorite.
That's gonna be so great.
80 years. That's impressive.
I can't
impressive.
Believe you pulled up Jeep.
Oh, that's Brett amazing. Said they took a Jeep. Jeep brand vehicles have seen and done a lot in 80 years. From their beginnings in World War II, you're going to have the music rolling for this part, Mark.
Oh, totally. I'm with you.
To becoming an icon in 4x4 capability, join us as we celebrate 8 decades of perseverance and adventure. Jeep, long live the journey.
8?
Wow. Jeep.
Really impressive.
That's crazy.
I think the ad read is more impressive than their actual company.
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
So, Mark, what's your childhood memory?
Well, funny enough, it involves a Jeep, a blue Jeep.
No.
I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
So it's the earliest childhood memory that I can actually remember. My mom's brother, which would be my uncle, didn't get to see him very much, but he is the one who introduced me to baseball. And at a very young age, I don't know if he bothered to figure out what arm I threw with naturally or just gave me a left-handed glove, and therefore I had no choice, but I just started throwing the ball left-handed. He was left-handed as well, but I don't do anything else left-handed. I just throw a baseball left-handed, which is crazy.
Wow.
I write right-handed, I golf right-handed, I bat, well, I can bat both. Yeah, nothing else but throwing left-handed, all because of my uncle. And so my earliest memory, though, was he came to visit us in Vermont, and he brought his royal blue Jeep. And I remember I have pictures of me sitting in the front seat of that Jeep with my uncle.
Wow.
Our listeners are going to want to see that photo.
I probably could get it from my mom, but this is a listening podcast. We'll have to do a post.
So was there, Mark, was there like a favorite part to this memory, or was it just your earliest memory?
No, the favorite part was, you know, learning how to throw and play baseball with my uncle. But that you mentioned the Jeep was our non-sponsor. I was like, that is crazy. I have a picture from that time with my uncle in his Jeep. That was crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
And because of my love for baseball, that is probably one of the earliest, favorite moments of, you know, being able to play catch, all that kind of stuff, and learn how to develop what became, you know, one of the deepest loves of my life as a kid and growing up, you know, wherever we moved, that was always the first thing I needed to know was, you know, where is the baseball field? What's the, you know, who's got teams, you know, what can I play on? Where's Little League? Where's Babe Ruth? You know, all that kind of stuff. Being left-handed was something of a unique thing as a baseball player, because you were either typically wasn't too many first basemen. And if you were a pitcher of any kind, being left-handed gave you a little bit of an advantage at that age. I've always appreciated the time I got to have with my uncle as a little kid because he's the one who gave that to me.
That's awesome.
There you go.
How long did you play baseball, Mark? Did you play through high school?
I did, yeah. And then after high school, I ended up playing a little bit in a baseball league in Orlando for a few years. But as far as team sports, that's about as far as I went with baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you have enjoyed like playing in college or trying to play in college?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. I wasn't in a place where the coaching and so on that I, you know, that I was in as a high schooler gave the kids that played with us that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, not that is the only way to get to a college program to play, but I mean, they didn't have AAU, didn't have travel baseball things like that. And so if you were going to play and you were, you know, you got to win championships, you got to be in the news, you got to be doing all that kind of stuff. And so I'm in a little tiny little high school, not, you know, just playing ball because I loved it. And, I mean, sure, the desire is, I want to play in the pros. I love all these, you know, I want to do that. Every little kid did. If they love the sport, you know, they got icons they look up to and want to be like. So that just, you know, wasn't a thing that I was able to go after. But
Well, and I ask for a reason because, like, and we could go off on a tangent on this, but that's a conversation I'm fascinated by, is looking back on my own childhood, looking at, I'm fascinated by studying successful people and acknowledging what you just said, that there are tons of variables. Like, you know, let's face it, none of the three of us, who all three of us played baseball, and all three of us were pretty decent at baseball, I would add, for listeners that don't know that. We were all baseball players. Brett and I were teammates. So there are tons of variables, and I can acknowledge that none of the three of us were good enough to play at the next level. Meaning, if we had been, you know, we kind of say in the baseball world, if you're good enough, they'll find you. So to that degree, we weren't good enough. But to Mark's point, my point is there are guys who came out of nowhere, podunk high schools or little towns, and they're in the league because they were just that good. But by and large, yep. I am fascinated by some of those other variables as far as parents who, like, either the dad was a baseball player or the mom was a softball player, and it's what the kid grew up doing. And so there was, like, a skill built in young age. Or you have examples of, like, a kid who, either because of the way they're wired or an experience they have in high school. I remember when my parents took us to the College World Series. You just get a vision for something where, until that point, it's not really on your radar. But then you go to a college baseball game and you're like, this is awesome. And I could do this.
Yeah.
And so I'm fascinated by all the different variables that lead people to make the decisions they make, that the reasons why they maybe are successful or the reasons why they even catch that vision in the first place. I just think that's a really interesting study to me. And obviously no one story is the same.
Yeah.
But I think there are common threads.
Preach.
Anyways, yep. That was my tangent, so we don't have to go anywhere with that. But yeah, Mark, what's our next?
Can I add a honorable mention childhood memory?
Of course.
So my fifth birthday.
You can remember your fifth birthday?
I sure can. That's awesome. My fifth birthday, I was given a Curious George stuffed animal. I was given a set of Micro Machines that was like a kind of like a Desert Storm army colored Micro Machine set, and a couple of G.I. Joes and a blue haired troll that had one of the rubies on its belly.
Yep.
And then we went to Aladdin.
Wow.
Which was in theaters. In 1992. And I remember all of those things, and I don't know why, because I don't remember, like, any other birthdays. Seriously, like, 7, 8, 9, couldn't tell you. And I'm sure that...
So that's just the earliest memory.
I know, but it was like, I remember thinking it was the best day of my life. Like, it all... our family usually celebrated, it didn't matter what your birthday was, it just mattered when we would all get together to sell, like, if it was the Saturday or the Sunday closest to your birthday. So, like, the day of my birth has never been super significant until I met my wife, who's big on birthdays. Yeah. Now I'm getting to be that way, too, which I appreciate being celebrated, so it's fine with me. But that day was one of those, like, it was my birthday, and we did all of those things, and I got all of that stuff. And obviously, Aladdin's a great movie, so I had a great time.
That's fun.
Nice.
That's fun.
All right. Well, there you have it, four favorite childhood memories and an honorable mention memory from Brett, which is...
Thank you.
Those are great.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to share.
You're welcome. And I think our fans are so appreciative of that.
I think we always want to leave space for those.
Totally. All right. I think we need to go to the hardest you've ever laughed or cried or... All right, this is up for consensus. Drum roll. Best scenes from TV shows. I think how we finish this episode.
Okay, best scenes.
I think we do best scenes.
That seems like a good direction to go.
That's wise. That's wise.
I think so. Who do we want to start with? Brett, you want to kick this one
off? For the sake of the audience, did you just refer to yourself in the third person?
No, I said Brett.
Oh, I thought you said Mark.
If he wanted to kick it up.
I'll do that later. If there's a scene any of us mention where obviously the three of us love it, we can dive deeper into it. But I think for the audience to just – we'll see how many we can hit. Let's just kind of run through them because we're shooting from the hip here, a little behind the scenes. We don't necessarily have like a top 10 list for each of us.
I think this whole episode, we're going to call it Shoot from the Hip.
This Shoot is from the Hip.
And then the subtitle is Integrity Move.
Yeah.
I'll go. And I am going to do a ranking just so that I can get my mind right.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
In no order, The Office, Parks and Rec, and Psych have been the scenes and the episodes in which I quote the most, and they're in my brain, and I use them as just, you know, verbiage in my day.
Yep.
All the time. Like, references that Dwight to Jim, Jim to Dwight, Michael to, you know, whatever from The Office, Ron Swanson quotes from Parks and Rec, Sean to Gus quotes from Psych. Like, I just and me and Kyle had a huge back and forth with Psych for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we watched Psych before the other two, didn't we?
Correct. Well, we were watching Psych. We watched The Office first. The Office started. And I won't speak for you. I did watch The Office from the very beginning. So that came out spring of our senior year of high school, spring of 2005, and then I believe Psych came out when we were in college. But you'd have to fact check me on that one.
I'm gonna fact check you because I don't believe you. But I for sure did not watch The Office before Psych. So yes, we are different in that way. I would say off the top of my head, I'm a softie, so I like the scenes that are funny. Like anything that's gonna make me think or laugh or cry is probably gonna make the top of my list. Ooh, right now I would say the Parks and Rec scene where Ben, every instance where Ben is at the accounting firm,
mm-hmm.
Because they're so dry and all he needs to do is pepper in a little bit of humor and they just lose their minds. Yep. I think those make me laugh the hardest. The scene where Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson get locked in the Parks and Rec office, and they have to they hate each other at this point. They won't talk to each other. That's why their friends locked them in. Mm-hmm. I would say that one might be because it does have that kind of like it's touching because of the friendship and it's hilarious. And Leslie Knope singing We Didn't Start the Fire but not knowing any of the lyrics and making them bump on the spot is Emily and I are just crying laughing every time we watch that. So there you go. I kicked us off. Now it's your turn because I don't know if I've got another one off the top of my head.
Well, I think it's to be fair, we could give a little bit of a structural disclaimer for our audience that we won't speak for Mark. I'm interested to see where he goes. And there's a little bit of an age difference. No offense. Brett and I, it's really just the same show.
That's two episodes where it's come up.
I'm not going to have as many examples of TV shows because Brett, I didn't know where you were going to go on that. I feel like you have introduced me to a lot more shows or movies that I've watched. But we have talked at length. Like if you're listening to this episode or if you follow our podcast, there's a really good chance at some point or more often than not, you're going to hear an Office quote, a Parks and Rec quote.
Totally.
And maybe a Psych quote. If you're a listener that hasn't gotten into either show, we would highly recommend, because I have friends who are huge Office fans and they've just never given Parks and Rec a try. And we could go into our whole spiel
about... That's so sad.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Again, we could go into a whole diatribe. I'm going to resist it here, unless we feel like there's space and time for it. I'm very passionate about the similarities and differences of the two shows and why you should watch both. But
what is a diatribe?
I would throw... I don't know what a diatribe is. I think it's when you like get on the soapbox.
No, just explain. Okay, this episode brought to you by the word diatribe.
That's a reference to Three Amigos where he goes, Jefe, what is a plethora? And he's like, he doesn't know.
You just made me think of Mandy Patinkin and Princess. I wonder if he is using the same wind we are using. Yes. Diatribe is a forceful and bitter. Oh wow! Okay, forceful and bitter verbal attack against someone or something.
Yes, Kyle, please do a diatribe against us.
Get this: the example is a diatribe against the Roman Catholic Church.
This is getting out of hand.
This is so great. I don't know if I need to double down on diatribe or slowly back away. Okay, I'll throw out an example now that we're pulling away from the structural disclaimer. Both great shows. Please watch them. One of the themes in Psych, this will be my first example. One of the themes in Psych is Sean. Sean and Gus are best friends. Sean has a photographic memory, and his dad, who was a police officer, trained him to notice every little detail. So he connect. He's like Sherlock Holmes meets, I don't know, what's a show where there's a guy with a photographic memory? And he gets caught. Like he basically solves a crime, and they think he did it because he's like so perceptive. They're like, you had to have been the guilty party. So to get out of it, he pretends to be psychic. And then that's the premise of the whole show for 9 seasons. He has to keep up this ruse that he's psychic. And his best friend, Gus, is a pharmaceutical salesman who is like, Sean is this wild man, always taking risks, always leaving Gus in bad situations. Gus is this like button down, pleated khakis, tucked in shirt, wearing like just keeps everything buttoned up, very safe, not a risk taker. They're very much opposites. And one of the shticks that they do is every time they go somewhere to question a suspect or to just find out facts on a case, Sean will introduce them, and he has to come up with a different thing each time. He makes up his own, so he'll walk up to someone and say, "Hi, I'm Sean. I'm with the Big Uncles of America program. This is my underprivileged mentee. Holla back at ya." And that's like one of his examples. Brett, what's another one? Can you throw out some other examples?
I always liked the "Hello, I'm Sean. This is Sean, no relation."
That's good. And then there's a time when Gus is trying to kind of run the show, and he gets mad, and he's like, "No, I get to do the intro this time." So Gus walks in, and the guy says, "Hey guys, what can I do for you?" And Gus says, "Hey, I'm Gus Brown, and this is my friend Sean White." And Sean is in the background, and he just goes, "Wow."
Oh, there's so many. I'm mad that my brain won't think of more of their intros right now. I'm remembering Candy Striper.
This is my Candy Striper knickknack.
They're at the hospital.
Yeah, I am. This is my name is Dr. McTook, and this is my Candy Striper knickknack.
Oh, what's the jazz hands one?
What is Sean? I forget what Sean says, but he says this is my sidekick, jazz hands. And in the same episode, I think he says, "This is Gus TT Showbiz, the extra T's for extra talent."
And then he does the jazz hands with his hands, right?
Well, that's what makes the show so fun, is that Gus will complain 1 minute, and then he'll just play along in the next. It's very much, I think the magic of that show is it's like the friendship we all wish we had, or at least we've experienced some of that. Just a best friend who you could do everything with and just have goofy adventures with. So it's a great, great show.
Indeed.
All right, Mark, hit us. What do you got?
All right. So as you found out earlier in last episode, to all you listeners, I am the elder statesman of the group. And as such, the litany of TV shows that I have watched in my day is going to be longer.
I mean, an entire decade.
How many of them were you watching on a colored TV?
What's that? On what? On a color TV? Oh, my gosh. I do remember watching The Lone Ranger. It was reruns in black and white, not a issue with the TV per se. I can always remember color TV. I don't think there was ever a black and white TV that noted. I didn't go get for whatever reason. All right. Anyway, Seinfeld was probably in the comedy. Since we're in a comedy vein, Seinfeld and Friends were probably the first two shows that hooked me like, I got a must-watch TV type of thing. And there are so many Seinfeld ones that are great, but the one that I laugh all the time because his character from Seinfeld ended up being in movies and other things that were just, they're just brilliant. But Elaine was dating a character named Putty. I can't remember the actor's name now. Do you remember his name?
I don't. Sadly, I was not a big Seinfeld guy. I've caught up on episodes since then. I think it's a hilarious show. Anyway. But I just wasn't raised on it.
Hey, by the way, that's it's Dave Putty, played by Patrick Warburton, who's got one of the greatest voices in showbiz.
Oh, devils.
Totally.
I'm not the one going to hell. Yeah. No, L.A.
We got to do a shout out for Patrick Warburton. So for those of you listening who don't know who that is, Elaine's boyfriend in Seinfeld. He was the voice of Kronk in The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh.
If you've seen that movie,
it's the
best. And then for Disney nerds, and I'm going to try and throw in something like this now on every episode. But for my fellow Disney nerds, they had Patrick come in and do the intro safety demonstration for the ride Soarin' at Epcot. And it is phenomenal. Have either of you ridden that ride?
Nope. But I want to now.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Also, yeah. Kyle can recite every line from The Emperor's New Groove. So of all the Disney movies that I know that he likes, that one is like, I mean, it's not even, he won't miss a single inflection, let alone a line from that movie.
I just, I think it was around 2000 when it came out, and I just thought it was so funny. And I know a lot of other people did too. So I watched it many, many times. Okay, other TV shows? I got a couple lined up. Any other scenes you guys want to reference?
No, keep going. I'm looking at the list. I'm looking forward to you guys hearing talking about that.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, I see you got one in the notes, Mark. Go to your Ron Swanson one.
He goes to the restaurant and he orders he wants to order I'll take all the bacon you have. Hold on, sir.
Come back.
I need you to come back. What you think you may have heard me say was that I want some more bacon, but what I'm asking for is all of the bacon that you have. this is so great.
He never fails. Ron Swanson is.
Yeah. His one line.
He's in Cooperstown.
And see, okay, I'm going to make it quick. This is the difference between Parks and Rec and The Office that Kyle and I used to go. I used to ask him which one he liked better. And we finally both came to the conclusion that they are not comparable.
You can't compare them.
Because they live in different universes. The Office, everything in The Office could happen to you. Like, if you worked in an office environment. Parks and Rec is totally made up. The idea of, you know, 9 full-time staff in a small community in Indiana. I mean, it's just like nothing about it works. Nothing about it is realistic. Like, Ron Swanson would have never worked for the government. He hates the government, but in Parks and Rec, you know what I mean? So like,
bringing down the rotting beast from the inside.
He is.
That's true. good point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, you're so right. I say to people, again, this is the short version of the diatribe that is not going to happen in this episode.
It can't happen.
The Office and Parks and Rec, and it's another reason why I love them so much, and I say to people, please go watch it and understand how groundbreaking it was and how cool it was, because they learned very quickly what worked and what didn't. So if you go back and watch The Office, few people know that the first season in 2005 was 5 episodes, and it was very much a pilot season, like we're just going to test the waters, and it did not do super well. But if you go back and watch, and for those that don't know that there is an original Office, the Office was originally a British television show.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais.
And the pilot of the American version that has you know, Steve Carell and John, you know, the cast that we know, the pilot is almost line for line, the British first episode. And then it kind of branches from there, but the first season is similar. And I think they realized pretty quickly, to their credit, that level of awkwardness, that level of dryness maybe works in the UK. It doesn't work necessarily as well here. And so they tweaked it.
Well,
and
they weren't pulling it off as good.
Sure. Well, there's that too, because it's not their natural style of comedy.
Right.
When you go back then and look at the stats, the second season of The Office, the American version, is at the time, I think, was the most downloaded series or season iTunes history.
Yep.
Which is really cool, and then just got better from there. So my thing on Parks and Rec is that it's like comparing father and son or mother and daughter. Like it's not fair to compare them because you don't have one without the other. And then to Brett's point, the other point I make is that The Office was realistic. It was very much character. You could meet a Stanley or a Phyllis or even a Kevin, and in real life. And then you get to Parks and Rec, and you might notice the same thing in the early episodes of Parks and Rec. They were kind of trying to be The Office. Leslie, help me out, Amy Poehler. They did a lot of talking heads at her desk, very similar to Michael Scott. It felt the same. And you kind of realize quickly, like, don't try to be him. Don't try to redo what worked with The Office. And I think, again, they learned from that really quickly and pivoted a little bit. But you get a show where I think each character in Parks and Rec is a caricature. They're like an amalgamation of a bunch. They're an extreme example of care. April is an extreme character. Ron Swanson is an extreme, like, political libertarian. He's like the most extreme version of what you would get of that character. Whereas Dwight was just super weird and nerdy and had his weird things, but he could also be very normal. So it's totally like a caricature show. And that's why I don't think you can compare them. You just got to appreciate them both for being two different but awesome shows.
False.
Kyle, can you explain the word amalgamation for
us? Amalgamation is a joining of a bunch of different characters, or it's like a casserole, if you will, of characters.
False.
Ooh.
To use one metaphor with another.
Guys, can we have a quick top 10 of our favorite casseroles?
Ooh.
I feel like we've got some other scenes. Are we going to have time to get to other scenes?
No, dude, we're not going to do the casseroles.
We'll save it for another day.
What about any other shows that are not like comedies, or is that all that we watch?
Well, I got to hit two more scenes, but Brett, do you have any others you want to hit?
No. Kyle, hit those two scenes.
So,
and then we'll
The Office, again, I could pick 100, but The Office, Branch Wars is one of my favorite episodes of all time. when Michael Scott says, we will burn you. If you touch a hair on Stanley's head, we will burn you to the ground. Yes. But there is a line in that episode. There is a scene where Michael, Dwight, and Jim have driven over in Michael's, was it a PT Cruiser or Chrysler? Yep. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's right.
To the Candy Apple Red Cruiser to Utica, the Utica branch. Yep. And they're going to prank Utica, where Karen Filippelli is now the regional director or regional manager. And they've all got warehouse uniforms on and fake mustaches. And the scene, it's a line that most people miss, but there's a scene where Karen comes back from lunch. Michael and Dwight are in the building trying to steal the industrial size copier. Jim is hiding in the car. He wants no part of this. And Jim looks over and sees Karen getting back from lunch. And he's like, oh, shoot, I got to hide. Well, Karen notices him. So Jim pulls the seat back and tries to go, you know, horizontal in the car.
Yeah.
Karen's already seen him and starts to walk over to the car. Well, Michael and Dwight are on walkie-talkie. They're on the two-way radio. And you can hear Michael in the background. And the copier, like, falls down the stairs. They fall with it. And Michael's, like, screaming into the walkie-talkie, like, I'm going to die. And if you pay attention, most people miss this. But when Karen gets to the window, she knocks on the window, and Jim rolls down the window and starts talking to her. But in the background, Michael Scott says to Jim, Jim, if I don't make it, host the Dundies. He goes, promise me one thing if I
that's great.
Promise me one thing if I don't make it. So go back and watch that scene. You have to really listen to hear it. But he says, if I don't make it, promise me one thing. Host the Dundies.
Yep. Host the Dundies. His dying wish.
Yeah. First of all, when they're getting interrogated after they were caught and Dwight keeps the fake mustache on the whole time, that's a classic. And then also when Dwight is going on the walkie-talkie, he's like, we have to do something to their eyes. And then Jim goes, no, don't do anything to their eyes. He goes, I have to. The eyes are the groin of the head. And, I mean,
yes,
that totally, line has totally come up in my life so many weird places. No, I'm right there with you, Kaz. I would say that might be – that's for sure a top five episode from The Office.
Yep. And then the last one I was going to share is, it goes back to Parks and Rec. The whole Ben is by far my favorite character. He gets some of the best. Every time he looks at the camera, I lose it, because he's the one, you know, again, I think he is the extreme example of Jim in The Office, where Jim would look at the camera and he's the sane one. He's the one that's supposed to identify with us as the audience and being like, is this seriously happening? But Ben just does it in such a funnier way, I think. And, the whole thread of Ben being depressed and inventing the Cones of Dunshire game.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the way they use that in future episodes where he builds the Cones of Dunshire, and then you find in the final season that he developed a second game called Cones of Dunshire, Winds of Tremora.
And that the gaming, I mean, that's amazing writing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's amazing writing. And he's like talking to, he's a sitting U.S. senator at this point, and he's talking with his campaign manager. And she says to him, like, if you run for governor of Indiana, the only problem I'm worried about is we're going to have to deal with this stupid Cones of Dunshire thing. And he goes, excuse me, that's a problem? Like, he says, the gaming industry called Winds of Tremora punishingly intricate. So I don't think we have to worry about that. He realizes what he looks back at her and he goes, please don't fire me over what I just said. But when he goes,
punishingly intricate,
he goes back to Grizzle and sees them playing Cones of Dunshire, and they don't believe that he's the architect. They don't believe that he invented it. They don't believe him. So they're like, he says, all right, you're going to play me in this game. And if I win, then you put Pawnee back in the running for free Wi-Fi. And they had all but kind of dismissed him. And so they go, fine, we'll play
it. That's the stakes.
And he goes, what do you want to be? And she says, he says, you're going to be the alchemist of the hinterlands. And he says, you can't be the alchemist of the hinterlands. The hinterlands is a shadow kingdom that can only sustain a denier or a provost. And they just look at him like the level of nerdiness and the writing. And he says, what does he say, Brad? He's like, do you want to be the farmer or the something else?
Something else. And he says, I want to be the maverick.
He says, I'm the maverick. Yeah. But anyways, that scene is one of the best when it comes full circle.
That's pretty good.
Right there.
All right. Any others?
I mean, that's so deep. That's a deep cut.
It is.
Mark, what else do you have other than Seinfeld?
The argument that they get to. So April is my favorite character from Parks and Rec.
Oh, so good.
I think all the understated stuff that she does in the show that is not actual lines, it's more a description of an action she took that nobody sees. You just know the repercussions of it.
Yeah. Yep.
And the way that she addresses everybody, her personality she built for that show, just as it's a brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant,
it's perfect.
Character.
Would you say that Councilman Jam is one of your favorite non-main characters?
100%. The other, I think, brilliance of Parks and Rec that took something The Office did and just made it better, where The Office has some great secondary characters like Nate, the IT guy, the building owner who's in the wheelchair. There's funny secondary characters. Well, Parks and Rec, I think, just took that to a whole new level where you have Councilman Jam, you have Joan Calamezzo, might be my all-time favorite. You have Pert Hapley, you have Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
They just took that to a whole nother level.
Do you remember?
Or an HNL, as we like to say.
Yep.
You remember the scene where they wanted to, I forget, I think it was Tom Haverford and someone, they wanted to make their own cologne. And so they go visit the one guy who already has his own cologne.
Dennis Feinstein.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Chris Farley right now. Do you remember when that happened?
My dream.
Oh yeah, the Chris Farley show. My
dream. That was great. That's my favorite.
My dream would be like Dennis Feinstein for us to have a studio where we just have TWP up on the wall behind us. Like he had his name, yeah, Dennis Feinstein, like up on the wall. And when they come into his office, he just goes, hey, welcome. I'm this.
Yeah, and then he points to his name on the wall. I love that.
I am this.
Well, I think we can pause for our final non-sponsor of the day. From getting stains out of favorite shirts to baking cookies and everything in between, Whirlpool appliances are there to help you keep the day moving. Our thoughtfully designed products and appliance suites are made with you in mind. Whether you need a new washer and dryer that gets soccer uniforms ready for the game tomorrow, a range that heats up quickly so you can spend more time enjoying dinner, or a dishwasher with the capacity to fit your family's dish pileup, you'll find a Whirlpool appliance made to give your chores all the care and attention they require Whirlpool, load more, run less.
Kyle, I have a challenge for you.
That's good.
That was a fantastic ad read, okay? But I know that there are some podcast listeners out there that either listen to this podcast at 1.5 times speed or half speed. So I think you should do that ad read as fast as you can so that the people listening to it at half speed hear it at normal
speed. What we need to do is look up the original. What was the NBA disclaimer they gave before every NBA playoff game? They would say, like, there is no recording, broadcasting, or replaying of this game without express written consent, but it was the guy doing the sped up voice.
Yeah, like an auctioneer kind of style speed. But that's fine. Don't take my challenge. That's fine. Everyone.
Well, I already left the Whirlpool page. So
okay. Sorry, listeners. At 1.5 speed.
What's happening
that's
now?
That's funny. Okay. I don't know. We don't have anybody who tomorrow. Knows what they're doing on this podcast. I'm looking for a really fast disclaimer.
Well, maybe we can find one and enter it back in. But you know, Mark, you brought us in. Why don't you take us out?
Well, I think that's going to do it for us, guys. How would you rate this podcast? Sliding scale metric.
Obviously,
1 to 10 millimeters. Go.
Well, I missed the scale. What was it?
It doesn't matter. We're out of time. All right, we got to go. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see ya.
You're welcome.
We won't see ya. You'll hear us next time we do a podcast, which may or may not happen sooner than later.
Exactly.
And it'll be a good one. That's, we promise you that.
An astute observation, Mark.
That was an astute observation.
Make sure to like this podcast, subscribe to it so you never miss out on the new ones coming up, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook and in person, but don't stalk
that. And in person. Right. That's a great tag to following us on social media.
Oh, wait, that's not the same thing. All right, love you guys.
Bye, everyone.